my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. Father, I pray that your will be done now, that we would hear your message deep down in our heart, deep down in our soul. Lord, that we might be motivated to walk according to your will, to walk in obedience. May your Holy Spirit have full reign now in each of our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the title of the message today is, Do We Love Jesus? You might say, Pete, that's a crazy question. Do we love Jesus? Of course we love Jesus. But if you open up your Bibles to John chapter 21, and verse 15 is where we're going to begin. This, it's God is so amazing. And I guess it was 2 weeks ago, the sermon just came so quick to me. And then last week I was so struggling, and this week I was so busy. I had so much to do yesterday, and I just said, Lord, help me with the sermon this week, because I had just time and all the things I got to do, and I had all this stuff weighing on my mind. And, y'all, I got home from work Friday night, and I was taking my shower, and the Lord just started pouring into me. I got out of the shower, and Hayden and Crystal were sitting in the living room. I'm like, y'all don't talk to me. And I opened up, and I just started writing stuff down. And I said, I was going, Lord, I hope I don't forget anything. It's coming so fast. And I couldn't even hardly stop. It was coming so fast. And so I pray that the Lord speaks to you all this morning. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus replied, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I think it's very interesting here that he asked him three times, because how many times had Peter denied Jesus? Three times. I don't know if that's significant or not, but Peter had denied Jesus three times. Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? Jesus was telling him, if you love me, then feed my sheep, take care of my lambs. And so as I was thinking about all this, and I was thinking about, do I show Jesus that I love him? Do you show Jesus that you love him? Are you active in your walk with God? Are you active with Jesus in the way that you show him that you love him? And as I was thinking about all this, and I thought, well, first, do we understand how much Jesus loves us? You know, sometimes, I hope I can say this the right way. Sometimes it's easier to love somebody when you know they love you, right? Because if somebody you don't think cares about you very much, it's a little bit easier to not love them, you know, or to love our enemy. But do we understand how much Jesus loves us? And so first I want to cover that with you. Okay? And I thought of the parable of the lost sheep in Matthew 18, 12 through 14. And I want you to think about right now at this moment, this is our Heavenly Father looking down at you. Okay? It says, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hill and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. The Lord Jesus is looking for you this morning. He's looking for our neighbors. He's looking for our coworkers. He's looking for our family members that are lost this morning. And then I thought about the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15. 20, he says, "So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." And I thought, how many Sundays have we come to church and we sit here in condemnation, and we sit here full of regret and pain and hurt of who we hurt and who the sins that we've committed and what we used to be. And Satan tries to push us down and push us down and push us down. But I think of this, and y'all, this is an example of the Father is looking for us. And when he saw him coming, what did he do? He was filled with compassion, and he ran to him, and he threw his arms around him and kissed him. This morning, y'all, if you're right there, Jesus is looking for you to turn to him. He loves you so much. He'll meet you. He'll embrace you. He'll love you. He'll kiss you. You've not done anything so bad that the Heavenly Father won't forgive you. But understand, with the prodigal son, what happened? First, he had to come to his senses and go back to the Father. But Jesus is there ready. And John 15, 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." I think I read that verse last week or the week before, "But you did not choose me, I chose you." Our Heavenly Father chose you. Do you love me? Jesus is saying this morning, because I love you. He asked Peter, "Do you love me?" But God loves us so much. Do we show Him our love? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." That right there should show how much our Heavenly Father loves us. And I'm going to tell y'all this morning that I would not give up my family's life for anybody in this world. I might give up my life, and you guys might look at me, "Pete, that's terrible." Well, would you? Would you give up your child for somebody down the street, for a neighbor, for even me? I hope not. But that's how much God loves us, that He gave His only Son for you and for me. Do you love me? Peter denied Jesus. He even cursed Him, and he went back to fishing. He says, "Let's go. I'm going back to fishing." And then, do you guys remember when they got to the empty tomb and the angel of the Lord was there in John 16:7, and he tells them, he says, "But go tell His disciples and Peter." Go tell His disciples and Peter. I've preached on that verse, I think, more than once, because I love that. Because after all Peter had done, he denied Him. He cursed. He says, "I'm going back to fishing. I'm going back to my old life." But when Jesus had risen, He wanted to be sure that Peter got the message. "I'm no longer in that grave. I've risen. Go and tell His disciples and Peter." He made it specific. Y'all, this morning, it's specific to you. If you've blown it, if you've messed up, God loves you so much and He'll forgive you. You can turn away from that and He's there with open arms. "Do you truly love me?" He asked Peter three times. And I'm asking you this morning, do you truly love Him? Or are you just saying it? Sorry. Friday, I think it was Friday, I was driving back into Fort Smith, and I saw this pickup truck coming at me, and it was this old pickup truck from probably the early 80s. It was beat up and rusted, but I could see a guy and a girl in the front seat of it, and the girl was sitting right next to the guy on the front seat. You guys know what I'm saying? He's driving, she's sitting, so nobody's in the passenger seat, you know? And it just made me laugh, and it made me think about when I was a teenager, and I had this little Nissan truck, and everywhere we went, Crystal was sitting right next to me in that little Nissan truck, you know, and the truck was so small, if she'd been in the passenger seat, we'd almost been touching anyway, you know, but everywhere we went, she sat right next to me, and y'all, there was just something about being close to the person that you love. And that, seeing that truck reminded me of that. There's just something about being close to the person that you love. And y'all, when I think about that, and I thought, but you know, do I love Jesus that way? Do I want to be close to him? Do I want to spend time with him? You know, when you're young and you're dating, there's a, you know, the person that you're in love with, that's all you think about. That's all you want to do. You want to spend as much time with them as you can. And you know, back in my day, it was talk on the phone. You know, now there's all this other stuff, you know, the texting and social media and all that. But we would sit and talk on the phone for hours. And we had really nothing to talk about. And then it's you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up, you know. I'm sorry, we were silly like that, but it was just, you couldn't, all you wanted to do was be with him. Are we that way with Jesus? Man, Jesus is, he's looking down and saying, do you love me? Do you love me, Susie? Do you love me, Adam? Do you love me, Keaton? Do you love me, Pete? You say you love me, but are you showing it? Are you living it? Am I consuming your thoughts and minds? Do you love me as much as you did your girlfriend or your boyfriend when you was a teenager, or your husband and wife, or your kids now? When you have a baby, you know, and I remember when my kids were little and I would just sit and stare at them. It was so cool because you just, wow. This is so awesome. You know, you're so excited with this baby. And then they grow up and things change, you know. But that love is still there, even though things change. That love is still there. Jesus is saying, I love you. When you love someone, you want to spend time with them. You want to be as close as possible to them. In Luke 10:39, it says, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. In verse 41 and 42, Martha, you remember, is complaining because Mary's not helping with all the preparations and everything going on. In Luke 41 through 42, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What was Mary doing? She was just sitting at his feet, listening. You know, Martha's all busy working and doing things, and, you know, I can relate to Martha. I can. Why ain't anybody helping me? I got all this to do. I don't know why this stands out in my mind so much. This is probably 20 years ago. We were having a revival here. And I can't remember exactly what was going on in the back, but we were getting something ready and doing something, and they had already started praise and worship up here, and I needed a person's help. It was this specific person. For some reason, I had to ask them a question. And I come up, and I interrupted them and asked them to come to the back while they were singing praise and worship. And they were so upset with me. And they said, why did you interrupt me for this? And then I kind of got mad. You know, hey, I need help. But they were in the moment of worshiping God. So who was wrong there? I got mad, but I was really wrong. Because they was in a moment there that they were really worshiping God. But I had this stuff that needed to be done. That's a different sermon for another time. You know, we need to work, we need to do things, but y'all, there's sometimes that we just need to sit at His feet and just spend time with Him. And I think that, you know, with your families, that's the best way to show love is time. It's not new toys, new this, new that. It's time. And with our Heavenly Father, I believe it's the same. It's He wants our time. He wants our attention. He wants our focus. Luke 10:27, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And as I think about that verse, and I think, how many of us are truly loving our Heavenly Father like that? With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. Do you go all week without thinking about the Lord? You say no. you go several days without thinking about the Lord? Do you go a day without thinking about the Lord? Do you go hours without thinking about the Lord? Y'all, to me, God's put us where He's put us. We all have different jobs. You know, I'm a delivery driver. And until God opens the door for something else or tells me that it's time to change, that's where He's got me. Some of you, you're in different businesses. Some of you, you work in school. Some of you, you stay at home. But God has you where He wants you if you're in the Heavenly Father's will. But it shouldn't matter whether I'm driving my truck or whether I'm preparing for Sunday's message. Jesus should be in my thoughts and in my mind in that constant state of prayer. Father, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? How would you have me respond? Where should my thoughts even take me? I've talked about that a lot, taking every thought captive. But when you love God so much, when you love Jesus so much, y'all, it's not manufactured. When me and Crystal was dating, I didn't have to want to think about her. I just thought about her. It just happened. And this might gross some of y'all out. I'm still in love with my wife and I still think about her. Okay? It ain't quit. I still think about her throughout the day. And it should be that way with my Heavenly Father because I love Him so much that it's there. It's there. And it's not something manufactured. Now, I admit, and I've told y'all before, there's been times that my kids are whispering around now that I'm talking about loving my wife. You're getting me distracted, quit. There's, you guys, I've confessed there's been times that I'll go without thinking about the Lord and then I'll be in a tight situation and all at once I'm praying, oh God, help me, back in this building so I don't mess anything up. Or as soon as I need Him, boy, I'm praying in a hurry. John 14:15. So I was thinking, how do I show God that I love Him? How do I show Jesus that I love Him? John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Do you love me? He said to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Jesus is saying to us this morning, do you love me? You might say it, but are you obeying what I command you to do? Are you obeying me? I want to go to Luke 15, verse 7. I'm just going to read verse 7 and verse 10 in Luke 15. We'd read about the lost sheep earlier, and this is the end of the lost sheep. Luke 15:7, he says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Do you hear what that says? That there's rejoicing in heaven over a sinner that repents. What does Jesus care about? What did we just read for the first half of the sermon? He cares about you. He cares about your neighbor. He cares about your coworker. He loves you. And that heaven obviously cares too because there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. You jump down to verse 10 and it says, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There's rejoicing in heaven over a sinner who repents. I was driving home Friday and I heard a woman talking about her brother-in-law had some kind of terminal cancer, incurable cancer, and he was an atheist. And he was a conductor of some big orchestra or something. And so she went to watch him for the last show that he was going to conduct before he left, and it turned out it was 10 days before he died. When she went, she said, Lord, if you'll give me an opportunity to speak to him. Because he didn't believe. And said first day went by, no opportunity. Second day went by, no opportunity. Third day, she was getting ready to go home, and her sister said to her, you can have from 12 to 1 to talk to him. She wanted her to talk to her husband. And she went in and she talked to him and she explained the gospel to him. And he said, I've never had anybody share the gospel with me the way that you just shared it with me. She said her brother-in-law died a few days later, and she had flown back home, and she didn't know for sure if he'd really accepted the Lord Jesus, but her sister told her, she said, he couldn't quit talking about what you'd told him about Jesus and about the gospel. And he did accept Jesus before he died. And y'all, when I heard that, I have no idea who those people are. But I began to just cry driving home. I began to just weep driving home. And I just thought, wow, that here this man, his whole eternity was changed. His whole eternity was changed because one person was willing to be obedient and share the gospel, to love him and care enough about him to say, Jesus loves you. And that he died on a cross for you. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. And I'm going to end with this because I thought, well, how did Peter respond? How did Peter respond? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And I think Acts 4, verse 8 through 13 really sums it up best. And we could keep going, but you guys might fall asleep on me. Acts 4, verse 8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for acts of kindness shown to a cripple and ask how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There is no other name by which we must be saved but Jesus Christ. Verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I love that. Unschooled, ordinary men. And they were astonished at their knowledge, at their courage. And they said, but these guys had been with Jesus. You want to show Jesus how much you love Him? Spend time with Him. You want to show Jesus how much you love Him? Obey what He commands you to do. You want to show Jesus how much you love Him? Tell somebody. Tell somebody about Jesus. There's rejoicing in heaven over a sinner who repents. You think Jesus don't care? He cares. He cares about the lost. He cares about your neighbors. He cares about your friends. Are you telling people about Jesus? And when I say telling people about Jesus, it may just begin with just your testimony, what Jesus has done for you, an answered prayer. But you just obey what God tells you to obey. He causes the increase, but He gives us opportunities to sow seed. I guess it's just really on my heart right now because I was talking to someone at Stacy's dad's funeral, and they were telling me about a church that they went to, and I'm not going to name the church or anything, but a church that is a big church, and it was a very big church. And she told me that they have maybe 25 to 30 people coming now and said most of them's old, older people, that they have no kids, they have no youth. And this was a big church. You know, we've always kind of been a small church, and it's okay. God causes the increase. We've had new people come. But I see life here. I do. I see life here and I see things happening. And, I pray that God will continue to grow His kingdom, not Coop Prairie, to grow His kingdom. But we have to be obedient to what He tells us to do, church. And we say we love God, but then when He says, do this or do that, it might be send somebody a text message. It might be make somebody dinner. It might be just help them with their yard work. Go weed their flower bed. I don't know. But you listen to God and you obey what He tells you to do. And as He gives you opportunities, you walk in obedience. And then you're showing God how much you love Him. It's not just showing up to church. It's not just singing a song. It's not taking notes while I'm preaching. It's when you walk in obedience that you show Jesus how much you love Him. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. And Lord, I thank You for how much You love me. Lord, I'm so undeserving. I'm so undeserving. But I'm so thankful that You sought me out and that You changed the direction of my life. Lord, I pray that if there's any in here this morning that don't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, that they've not turned to You, that they've not committed their life to You, Father, that they've seen through Your Word this morning how much You love them and how You're looking for them, You're searching for them this morning, and that they would turn to You, Father, and that they'd feel Your loving arms wrap around them as they repent and give their life over to You. And Father, for all the believers here this morning, Lord, I pray that we would really think, how do we show You that we love You? That You're asking this morning, do You love me? Do You love me? And that we're really thinking about that this morning. How do we express our love to our Heavenly Father? Are we spending time with You? Are we walking in obedience? Are we seeking You on a daily basis? If we're not, may we repent of that and begin to do it right at this moment. May nothing hinder our walk with You. May we truly seek You with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. May Your will be done now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to encourage you guys to pray. Pray for our country. After watching the debate the other night, I just began to pray and I said, God, let Your will be done. Let Your will be done. May we not be in rebellion. And so I encourage you between now and the election to really pray for our country and that God's will would be done. Pray for our brothers and sisters in this country that are being arrested right now for singing, for holding church. It's crazy how blessed we are to live where we live. But if they're taking away their rights there, they can take away our rights here. So we need to be praying for strength and encourage them for the Holy Spirit to just guide them. You look at what Peter was facing and what many of the disciples in the New Testament, imprisonment and all kinds of things happening, but they were bold and they were strong for the Lord Jesus. And we need to be bold and strong. And in that, we need to be in prayer, because right now, we're here singing, we're here worshiping, we're here learning, but it's not that way everywhere in our country. And so we really, really need to be mindful. I encourage you to be mindful of those people and be praying for them, and like I said, for the election, that God's will would be done. And so you guys have a blessed afternoon, and God bless you.